What's up, guys? I'm Tim Geddes. These are the coolest dudes in video games, Colin Moriarty and Greg Miller.
Hey,
that
Tim.
Over there is Alfredo Diaz for the first time joining us for the first ever episode 12 of Kind of Funny Games Cast.
The first and last.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
sorry, first and last episode 12. There'll be another 12. There'll be another dozen.
No,
sorry,
that's not how numbers work.
Yeah, no.
There will not be another episode 12.
What about when we do volume 2 of the Games Cast?
It's not a book.
It's not how
Pwnish.
It works.
Pwnish. No. I'd love to focus more on your boring stuff, but instead I'm here looking at Simple Mind, an EP by Peach.
Damn.
At bit.ly/PeachGoblin. Mm-hmm. You remember this from last Games Cast?
Yes, last week we talked about him. He's, again, the homie of Alfredo.
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine, except for the time he spilled my drink on me. And then
Peach, you
spilled your drink on
me. He spilled my drink on me and then said that I did it.
I don't know about that. That sounds pretty goblin-esque.
If you missed it last time, Peach over there went to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, supported us at the $3,000 level for a month of shoutouts. Mm. So this is his second shoutout here. You go to bit.ly/peachgoblin. If I say bit.ly, people understand to go bit, period.
bit.ly/PEACH.
Yeah, but I'm wondering does the general public understand when they hear bit.ly?
Probably not.
bit/
People are usually dumb.
Yeah. But so last time we told you it was music I enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to take my word for it anymore. Other Kind of Funny people have gone there. They've gone into the comments. They've said things such as like this. Kind of Funny Games sent me here. Really good tracks. Keep it up, said PewDiePie, which I don't think is a real PewDiePie.
Oh, man. PewDiePie, Kind of Funny fan.
Chris says, also sent here by Greg, not bad. Mega Tarad said, nice, light sound, man. Good rhythm and very clear. Nice work. Some of it is even kind of funny.
Damn!
So, yeah, even if you hate, there's a guy in here who doesn't even like rap music. He came by to support people, though. Yeah, so just, here it is. This is Pi Blockhan. Was sent over by the Games Cast. While rap/hip-hop is not my thing, I do admire you for creating content and supporting content creators. I will say the piano at the end of Razor is top-notch. Loved it. Keep up the hard work, man.
I support people that support people. Yeah. That's cool.
I support people who
That's
support
what we're doing
people
here.
People.
With Beach.
Solid beat.
I like
content
this.
Creators. Of course, the album is free over there. You go, you download it, enjoy yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. bit.ly/PeachGoblin.
Yes. That's B-I-T. .ly.
Now, they understand that. I said it three times.
PEACHGOBLIN.
Yes, yes. Well, ladies and gentlemen, to get into the rigmarole here, this is the Kind of Funny Games Cast where every week we talk about all the fun, cool video game stuff that we want to talk about. The only difference is now that we have Alfredo with us, he's going to be joining us. He's going to be a regular guest. Like, maybe not every episode.
Yeah.
But when he's not busy streaming over at twitch.tv/TheAlfredo. No.
What?
Twitch.tv/AlfredoPlays.
Yeah.
You can find him on Twitter at twitter.com/TheAlfredoPlays.
Yep. Full-time streamer now.
Yeah. So it's fun. So Alfredo recently left IGN to pursue his dreams of playing video games. Which sounds weird.
It's really weird.
But it's going to be a good time. He's going to be over here a lot. Yeah. And he's going to be streaming for us on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames all the time.
We'll be giving you guys them night streams and weekend streams.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah,
you're a good man.
In our off hours,
mm-hmm.
as they call them. So I'm really excited about this. We're also just going to do a little something different today on the show. Because, well, first off, to go back to the rigmarole. We're not
doing
shirtless. Now that Alfredo's here, the shirts come off.
Alfredo, I'll do it. Last topic, we're doing a shirtless.
All right.
So this show breaks up topic by topic over on YouTube Monday through Thursday. Full episode Friday on YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. Also on iTunes and SoundCloud, Kind of Funny Games. But you can get it early over at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. But what we're doing differently today is instead of having just four topics, we're still going to have four topics.
Sounds groundbreaking.
But two of the topics, the last two topics, last week we're like, yo, we want to talk to the audience.
Mm.
Actually, every single topic this week is from the audience in some way.
Yeah.
So the first topic is from Patreon.
Okay.
The second topic, we're going to do a whole topic on one person's question because it's like a really good, long topic. But then I got a lot of questions from people that we need to answer. Some of them are geared towards Alfredo and your taste, and some are geared towards the group. So one topic's going to be questions to Alfredo, one's questions to the group. This is going to be fun. Let's get into it. Topic number one.
Kevin, this is topic number one. You were very worried about this beforehand.
I was more worried about topic number two.
He got this.
So this is from our friend Kenny Char. I think that's how you say it. patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. If you want your topic, go over there. You can do it too. The topic is persistent online mode. It seems like more and more games are coming out that are constantly online, which I find to be quite disheartening. It seems like a great deal of game-breaking bugs recently are related to online connectivity, not to mention there are a number of AAA games out there, most notably Watch Dogs, that are forcing you to interact with other players, which as a mostly solo player, I hate. What are you guys' views on persistently online games, and do you think it's just a fad, or is it here to stay? Thanks, and kinda...
Funny! Hey. He gets it. See, yeah, he understands, yeah. Colin. He understands.
Yeah, he gets it. Someone out there gets it.
If it'll be a fad, gentlemen, remains to be seen.
Mm-hmm. What?
It's going to be around.
Kind
persistent
of.
Persistent online work.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the kind of funny chant. Funny and I was like, no, it's not going to be a thing.
It's going to be a thing. Now that people know you don't like it, it's definitely going to be a thing. Yeah. People are going to...
That's my move.
You've played your move so many times in front of people, though. Now they know. Mm-hmm. They're going to badger you with it.
Nah,
you'll
yes,
be at the proctologist, and they'll come running in screaming at you.
God. Doctor's got a finger in my ass, and he's all like...
Kinda. He whispers in
your ear. IGN, Alfredo. We could say that.
Are you say whatever the fuck you want here. It's great.
Yeah, I just realized that.
Say something.
Fuck.
Say something.
Shit, yeah, dude. Yeah, it's nice. It.
Shit, dude, yeah.
Penises.
This is, when the E3 rolled around where they did the Watch Dogs, and everybody's like, oh, Watch Dogs are cool, and then the next E3 rolled around, they had Watch Dogs and a whole bunch of other games, it seemed like this was going to be quote-unquote next-gen. The fact that you'll always be connected. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel... if it's a fad, I definitely think fewer games will do it, but I think it's going to be a big part of gaming going forward. That idea that you're connected to someone at all times, that all this stuff's happening. Because the first step was Xbox Live. In consoles, Xbox Live, then PlayStation Network. You look at what Steam does, right? I don't even have Steam open, I think, and then I start getting chat messages from people and all these different things. Mm-hmm. I think trying to bring people into your games is what people want to do. Not me, necessarily.
I definitely don't think it's a fad in the sense that it's not going away.
Yeah, I disagree with that. Yeah,
like, it's definitely is it a good thing? I think that there's good to be had from it, but that overall it's very annoying. But it's just one of those things. It's annoying.
But when it's done right, it's cool.
Exactly. But it's annoying in the same way that last generation introduced this thing where you put in a game and it doesn't just start playing. Mm-hmm. Like every other generation, you played games. Now they're media consoles and they do all these different things. And that sucks as a gamer, but then you just kind of get used to it. And that is what gaming has become.
Right.
So now it's just normal.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be the same thing with the online thing where it's like right now it sucks and everyone's like, oh, fuck this.
But see, then, what I'm talking about is like if it'll turn out to be a fad or not depends on. I think it's going to be around forever. I think it's going to be the rest of gaming going forward. But to the severity of how it's used is what will wax and wane. Right now I feel like, it's being shoved down your throat a lot, but there's good experiences you've had with games that aren't doing it that way. You know what I mean? Colin and I like a lot of games that we play single player, Helldivers or Freedom Wars, right? But when you need to or have to, you can connect online. Mm-hmm. Now, even that skewed the wrong direction, right? That Freedom Wars is so tough at a certain point, I have to have people. Destiny, I have to be playing.
But that's, you're kind of making your own point that's antithetical to your point, because in Helldivers, your statistics, just like in Dead Nation, you're like Helldivers compiles your statistics even if you're playing alone, and that does have persistent online unless you are on Vita and you're not connected to Wi-Fi. So, like,
what's my point?
The point you're saying is that this is there's a multiplayer component to these games that has some multiplayer connectivity even when you're not playing single player. But my point is that this is becoming invasive in a game like Helldivers, because Helldivers is connected to the internet even when you're playing alone persistently. Okay. You know what I mean? So, like, because you were saying before that you think it's going to wane or is waning or is there not.
I'm saying the fad, the only fad portion would be how directly influencing you it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's going to become more. Go more in this direction and become more invasive. I think it's obvious. You know, a game like Drive Club, for instance, on PlayStation 4 is all about connectivity even if you're playing alone. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you have these clubs or whatever, but you can play the game alone, but there's still a component of online functionality. And even when you look at games that are on PSN or Xbox Live and they have leaderboards and there's, you know, big campaigns that are conquered simply by, like, adding your statistics to the global statistics and stuff like that, I think those things are, like, kind of harmless, but I am a little disheartened. I like that he used that word, disheartened. I'm disheartened by it, too, because what about people like me that don't really want to interact with people online on games? Like, I don't want that shit at all in my games. And it's cool if it's there as an option, but, Watch Dogs is a huge turnoff, because even though I think you could shut a lot of this stuff off, like, people can come in your game and just fuck with you, and it's like, what is the fun in that? You know what I mean? Like, what is the fun in having someone invade your game when a game like The Division is announced and it looks awesome, but you have to maybe play with other people to get the full experience? It's like, well, why?
Yeah.
And the bigger question is, and I'm not sure how you guys feel about this, is that when you, the more connected your game becomes, the more it becomes relied on a group of people playing it. In other words, games come and go quickly when the more online functionality is required. Look at Titanfall. You know what I mean? So that's a bigger concern too that might dishearten him as well.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I mean, Colin, me and you are definitely more single player guys. Greg's a little more. He just does everything and doesn't really care.
I don't. I mean, I don't play
so multiplayer. Yeah, I was about to say, like, I don't know. From my point of view, I'm always connected, always playing multiplayer. But I see the point where, like, with Watch Dogs, I don't like the fact that anyone can just jump in. Watch Dogs is a game I just want to play by myself, to be honest. So, I don't know. I think it's the way that they implement it is, like, what they really need to look at and say, like, you know, is this too far? Is this not too far? Mm-hmm. But yeah, games like that kind of force you to have, like, crews and stuff. I feel like that makes things difficult for a lot of people who just want to experience the game. Like, Greg plays, I know I always go back to Destiny because this is a big core of what I do, but, like, Greg plays Destiny, but he's not really going to experience, like, the best part of that game, which is the raid, because it allows online, it needs online, and it needs, like, a solid core group of people to work together. Mm-hmm. And so it's, there needs to be balance, and it's going to be interesting to see where game developers go with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think my only real experience with it is the, like, Miiverse. Like, when you're playing...
That doesn't count.
But why not?
The Miiverse? The posts?
Yeah.
That's not real online.
No, but what I'm saying is, like...
Get out of here!
No. It's the bad way. So like, it was, like, semi-invasive. Like, playing through New Super Mario Bros.
You want a stamp? You got a stamp!
Yeah, sign up for Miiverse. I'm saying I don't like this, Greg.
I know.
But going through the world map, and then, the posts popping up and stuff, I'm just like... I don't like this. I think you can turn it off, but it's just like, I don't like that that's the default. Yeah. Like, they're just trying to shove all this shit down your throat. Like, just because you can be connected doesn't mean you should be. And I feel like it definitely is a case by case thing where it's just like, yeah, Destiny is only awesome because of that, but Mario does not.
Yeah, that's. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kirk. No, please.
This is going back to what I'm talking about. Is I think right now it's this fat stack of games that are doing it, and then the more vocal we as consumers be, that's when it starts to fade out. It's not going to fade out. People are just going to find a groove with it, where it is like, all right, our game doesn't need to be this, or they figure out a fucking way to make Freedom Wars and Helldivers able to go on as a single player experience. You know what I mean? Like, there's balance. Give me bots that are actually not stupid. Shit like that.
Yeah. I mean, so things like Titan, you play a lot of Destiny, you play a lot of Titanfall. Yeah. Like, Titanfall was online only. Like, do you think that was a good call?
I think Titanfall was just, it's weird because Titanfall was online only, multiplayer only. So when online didn't work, the game just didn't work. And I feel like that's a scary thing to just rely on, you know, having your game always needing to be online, because then it just did not work when there was no online.
But I mean, does that matter? Like, when, if you're talking months down the line when it doesn't work, like, are people still playing the single player and all that stuff anyways? Or, like, isn't it such a, like, specifically with a shooting game, or even like with Destiny, which is a shooting game, like, does that matter because it, the point of it is playing online with people?
No, because then, like, when you go with Destiny, there's a lot of people who play Destiny just for the single player stuff, right? Like, they like doing their things alone, like doing their Nightfalls or the weeklies. And then with Titanfall, I mean, one of the things that you never really heard with Titanfall people complain about, like, oh, I didn't like the gameplay. Everyone loved Titanfall as a gameplay. It just didn't have much depth to it, right? It didn't have a campaign. It didn't have many modes and things like that. So, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I think the bigger confusing thing to me is that there's two sides to this, right? Like, there must be some sort of data that suggests to developers, and especially to publishers that I think are more into doing something like this, that this stuff works or it matters. That the connectivity between this isn't just a trend, that this has been going on long enough now where publishers are seeing some sort of dividend being paid off by putting resources into making a game at least somewhat connected, even if it is single player centric. The bigger question to me is, if a game doesn't need it, then why put the resources towards it at all and have a more of a design aesthetic where it says the game is single player and therefore must be enjoyed single player, should be enjoyed single player, much like The Order 1886. For as bad as that, the game wasn't bad. For as subpar as that game was, there was no bullshit in that game. You know what I mean? Like, it was just, it was the campaign. That's what it was. And I wonder when there's issues with a game like, not even Titanfall and Call of Duty and all these aren't even a good example, but when a game like Tetris Ultimate is actually a great example. Tetris Ultimate was a Ubisoft game, and Ubisoft shoves Uplay down everyone's throats with every one of their games, except for the fact that it fucking broke Tetris Ultimate. And it was broken as of 2 months after the game came out. If you have a full friends list or a near full friends list on PS4, you cannot play it because the game constantly pings PSN to, like, get leaderboard statistics and stuff like that. And it's like, first of all, you have to run a server to make this happen. You had to write netcode for this. Like, all sorts of things. Like, why? Why?
Well, I think a big reason that Ubisoft specifically does this is all the, like, social media shit and, like, the Facebook integration and all that stuff. Because whenever people play Assassin's Creed or whatever, you get the Facebook posts that are just like, this guy's, like, Brian's playing Black Flag, and it's just like, all right, and like that, he doesn't know that his shit was set up that way, but it's just like, it's this really sneaky thing where all these like developers are just like, it's promotion, like that is advertising for free to millions of people.
Well, that's why I'm saying that there must be data that suggests that this is worth the problems that it must take and the resources that it must take to run servers and write netcode for these kinds of game ancillary game. Like Assassin's Creed has a multiplayer component. But why is the game running on a server or like interacting at all with the internet when it's on single player? There's just weird design choices that are being made that are frustrating to me as a single player kind of purist. Like, I don't mind that multiplayer games exist. I'm so happy that a game like Destiny or Titanfall exists that people can enjoy online for those kinds of gamers. But I feel like that aspect of gaming is invading a kind of sacred space for like gamers that don't want that shit. You know what I mean? And that's kind of the bummer for me. Like, when you fuck up Tetris, which is like something that like game designer 101 or like programmers, like that's like one of the first things they learn how to even make is just a Tetris game, as many people tweeted at me to tell me because I didn't know that. It's like when you fuck something like that up and it's really because of the connectivity issues, that's a huge problem.
Yeah.
And that should be embarrassing, like deeply embarrassing, you know, to a studio, even if there is a commercial reason to do it, which is to say like, oh, this is kind of being stealth sent to Facebook to remind people that Tetris Ultimate exists. Mm-hmm. That's the only question I have, is like, why shove it into games that don't need it? Not for that reason, but because it could probably save you money on development for not even having to worry about all that shit.
Do you think it could be just that more and more people, like both like the consoles like Sony and Microsoft, they're pushing harder and harder to have like better online quality, you know what I mean? And do you think it could be the reason just that like more people are online and like maybe they see numbers that like people play their game longer if there's more incentive to do something with other friends and people, you know?
Yeah, of course.
There has to be.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, that was the thing with the Order, right? Is like the Order gets, it's short and it's, you know, an easy platinum and there's no reason to hold on to it. So it immediately causes a deluge of games into the used game market that immediately Sony isn't getting money from. They aren't getting money anymore from the used copy being resold and resold and resold. So you have to give somebody a reason to hold on to this game. And that's what Destiny was great at this time around, right? As it came out, and not only is it a persistent online world that you're doing stuff in, it's also like, here's all our DLC. It's planned out this far. And like, you have folks like yourself who are totally into it. So many of our friends are super into Destiny and just running the same raids over and over again, the same missions over and over again, just to be ready for the next drop. Yeah. Here's the next thing I'm going to be ready for. And then the cycle begins anew and it keeps refilling and doing its same thing. And it's one of those that I think to console players and first-person shooter console players, maybe it sounds like so crazy and interesting, but it's just what MMOs have been doing forever. It's what WoW has been doing forever. Yeah. Like, well, here's your daily, here's your dungeon, here's this thing, here's that thing, motivating you to keep coming back. And like, what's always not worked for us personally in the industry we're in is the fact that we just don't have that much time usually to give into it, right? Like, I love DC Universe Online. I think it's the best MMO of all time because it's the only MMO I've ever played that I fell in love with, and I have like 500 hours in it. But the problem is that like, for me to jump back into DC Universe Online, I know to get the next tier of armor is me having to run raids with people every week, every raid, do these different things to get the next piece of armor. And I don't want to do that. If they came out tomorrow and they were like, hey, we've added more, because there is solo content, there's duo content, there's all these different things. We've added it all in, and with this multiplayer bonus, you can then actually make it worth your while. Because right now, it's not worth my while. I don't get nearly enough marks as I would if I went and ran the raid, but I don't want to sit there and play, try to find a raid group, do all this thing, set all the up, do all the bullshit that is to get a raid running to go out and do
it. Lot.
Yeah.
There is a subtle genius to what Activision and Bungie have done with Destiny, though, that the more that I've thought about the game, the more I appreciate the game, even though I know it's not for me. Because I played Destiny for fewer than 10 hours, and I played it by myself. And I was like, well, the voice acting's fucking awful from Peter Dinklage, and this game's boring, and I want to play it. So I stopped playing or whatever, but I realized that it wasn't for me, that I wasn't playing the game. But Activision made a gamble that is more interesting than Call of Duty in the sense that Destiny is going to be played for longer than 1, 2, or 3 years, probably. Mm. And this is a game that people can get into and pay $60 for and never pay for again. But they have server-side costs and development costs, and obviously the DLC is going to be developed even if people don't buy it. Not everyone buys it. It's a different move for them than Call of Duty, where they expect that people are going to fall off of Call of Duty after 1 or 2 years and then move on to the next one. And so I've just, in a general way, like there's a subtle genius to the way Activision kind of made a gamble, spent a fucking shit ton of money on Destiny. It didn't look like it was going to pan out at the very beginning when people really were harsh on it, and it has panned out beautifully for them. And it seems like they knew something that we didn't do, like for as much as Activision gets shit, and rightfully so sometimes, whatever, Destiny was kind of a stroke of genius in how to marry single player, but more importantly, how to marry multiplayer and MMO and make it accessible to console gamers that are not used to that aesthetic and that design and that kind of just like, this is a platform now. This is a World of Warcraft now. This is what you play. You don't play your PlayStation 4, you play Destiny.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of interesting, but it's still, I still fear that developers are getting all the wrong signals from multiplayer games, and I hope that,
I don't know, man, I feel like this year's the past year, not like just what's happened in 2015, has been that thing of like, this is what's fucking everything up. It's what fucked Drive Club up. It's what, and Watch Dogs had problems. It's what's fucking Helldivers up, Tetris, da da da. I feel like it's gonna rubber band back, like I was saying, and that's how the fad gets smaller or whatever it becomes, the movement.
I hope so. I just think that they're, you know, Tim's point about Uplay, for instance, like I just see like that they'll just cut through the bullshit anyway because they feel like they have to, that like you can't retreat. You know,
I mean, and that's when you get into the whole thing of like, though, that's Ubisoft, right? That's not a developer.
That's,
I mean,
just an example.
Sure.
You know, of a publisher that, you know, because I mean, think about like the big publishers, like they're not going to, Sony's the one that's the biggest propensity to not do online stuff with their games, even though they do online stuff with their games. Like, I don't think that you would see a publisher release a game like The Order very often. Like, the last game I can really think of that caliber or that AAA status that was really just a single player game is Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. All right. Second topic. This one comes from Twitter.
Can I say something before you get in your topic?
Oh, yeah.
While we were recording this, we have confirmation from Nick Scarpino that the contract is signed. The Kinda Funny Live event is in San Francisco on May 16th. That's a Saturday. It's a 21 and over event. Follow us all on Twitter. I'm sure we've been tweeting about it nonstop. Maybe at kindoffunny.com. We've put up a post about it. We should film a stupid commercial.
Yeah. 316.
No.
What?
316.
316?
It's on 316.
No, that's March. 416. May 16.
516.
516.
Oh, shit.
So that happened 2 days ago.
We're going to need to remake the image.
You all missed it.
You made an image?
We made the image, and it definitely says 316.
Jesus fucking Christ, guys.
The event was...
I left you alone for 2 seconds.
Oh, man.
The event was 2 days ago.
Yeah.
We got the date wrong on the Mega Man one.
It happens.
For some reason, I don't see dates properly.
Yeah.
That, like, when there's an error, I'm just like, oh, that's right. That's good.
Things happen.
316,
man.
That's what it is.
I was excited it was 316. Yeah. All right, okay. So, Twitter user Extra1Jr. wants to know, do a review of the first quarter of the year and if 2015 has lived up to expectations. So, yeah, when I first read this, I was like, we're not a quarter of the way through the year. And I was like, holy shit. Yeah. We are a quarter of the way through the year.
Right.
Essentially. I mean, give or take of 2 weeks.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of it so far? Both from a game perspective, like playing the games, and game announcement perspective, or game news.
That's a weird thing to say.
Game news.
Okay, I think it's important to say what were the expectations coming in. I think it was that normal thing where we're in the fall and everybody's like, "Well, it's a loaded up first half of the year with all these games that have been pushed." And I remember being like, "Well, yeah, Evolve and Bloodborne." I remember, and oh, The Order. Okay, and it's like those have come and gone now for the most part, right? And it's just like. My expectations weren't off the chart. Like, I think when did Witcher get delayed out of March? That would have been the one first quarter part. I was like, once that got out of there, I was like,
wasn't that last year that they announced that though? Pushback?
When it got delayed out of March?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So once that happened, I really had no expectations for this first quarter.
Cause I feel like we've already gotten a couple games. We got Dying Light.
Which came out of left field. I don't think we had seen that at PAX and been like, this seems cool, but I don't even think we thought it was going to be as cool as it was.
Mm-hmm. And then Evolve, which I know we didn't really get into.
Yeah, you played it though, right?
I played it and it's what I thought it was. It's an awesome game, but it's just an awesome game that entertained me for like 3 weeks.
Gotcha. I mean, did you get really into Left 4 Dead?
I got really into Left 4 Dead. Evolve is awesome, but it has the same issue that like Splinter Cell multiplayer always has, where it's awesome with a group of friends. Like you really have to have like you and your buddies being the hunters, otherwise it's like it's just not fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so but yeah, there's more to that game than I thought there was, though. There's more modes and
is that gonna have like a Titanfall variety thing where it just like nosedives off?
It's just kind of weird because I judge a lot of like game retention with like, you know, how many people like stream and stuff, and just no one watches Evolve. No one really like plays or streams Evolve.
Interesting.
So from that point of view, from a like Twitch streamer point of view, yeah, I just haven't seen much like attention for that game anymore.
Yeah, Evolve. And I said it weeks ago in Colin and Greg Lab, where I'm like, Evolve, just, I haven't played it, I haven't talked to anyone about it. You can just tell it is not picked up. Like, yeah, it is not caught on. People don't care about it. Like, it's obvious, you know, just from... We get tweets every day where someone's like, well, where is this? And why don't you guys Twitch this? And, we get no messages about Evolve. You look at the game sold respectably on MPD, but it seems like there's no buzz. And this is just more anecdotal evidence. If no one's Twitching it, then...
Yeah. Do you think there's no buzz because they just showed way too much of it? Like, I feel like...
They had way too much to explain. I don't even know why they made that game, to be honest. But it's like when they could have just made Left 4 Dead 3 or something. But, you know... I think there's a few problems. I don't think that people understand what the game is. I think, I mean, from a most base perspective, the box art is fucking awful. So like when you see it in, it is awful. It's terrible box art.
The old footprint.
And when you see it in, a store, it's like, all right, like, and I've said it before, it's like that, you know, like that is a great game, but that box art sucks.
He's talking about Resistance 3.
And, you know, like, it's like, that's boring. Like, I remember seeing it for the first time. I'm like, this is awesome. If you have any idea what the Chimera are and like all that kind of stuff, well, who's going to pick that off of the shelf? You know, Ollie Moss is a great artist, but that's not a good look for your box art. So that was the first thing I noticed about Evolve. I'm like, that is an awful logo and an awful way to portray the game. And I do agree that the game is more complex. Like, the 4-on-1 asymmetric thing is so weird to some people that they had to over explain it. And there's just other games to play. Like,
you
wade out
into it being really complicated. You know what I mean? And granted, that works for Dota and League. And I'm not, you know what I mean? I'm not trying to knock games that really have a lot to do. But when you're sitting there to a console audience trying to explain the differences in each one of these classes and how these weapons work and how, I mean, it was like, it's a lot to take in. And when your game isn't something fun to jump into, it's then you immediately start. What Left 4 Dead always did amazingly was like, you are a dude or a dudette, grab a gun and fucking try to survive. Make it to the next safe house. That's it. Over time, you're like, oh, I like this gun better. I like this gun. But there wasn't like a skill to learn and how to interact with each other. It was like, you could all have shotguns and be fine. You could all have different weapons and be fine. There's different things to it. Where this one is so about, let's all communicate perfectly.
Yeah.
Let's all do this. All right, you're doing that. I'm going to put up the bubble shield. Yeah. Lock him in here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
which from my point of view is fun, and it's fine because like I could just have my group of friends, or I just, you know, I'll just look over at Twitch and be like, guys, jump on in. Let's do this. But like, a lot of people don't have that luxury.
Yeah.
And I know that's
such a luxury.
But I know they wanted to take like a very, I appreciate the fact that there's like depth with like the weapons and stuff, but they just wanted to take a very like esports approach to it. And I feel like you kind of,
it's a game one, like people are going to try to do that and someone's going to hit it and make it work. But it's just like, that was
like
the risk coming in.
You should have tailored more towards like the common folk.
Yeah.
I mean, earlier you were saying that like Destiny kind of eased console gamers into the MMO idea and stuff. So it sounds like Evolve just didn't do a good job of easing them into the, it's like kind of MOBA-esque. It's not so much a MOBA.
I mean, that's a great example, right? Of like Destiny, like most MMOs, right? Begins with, you can play up to like level 30. You can beat the game and whatever. Be up to level 20, I guess is what it was, right? At launch. And like, be great. And then it's like, at the time, by you get that point, you've started to get like the breadcrumbs of working with other people and doing other things. And then if you're into that and you've made friends playing the game in the same level as you, that's when you can start going into these bigger things with bigger people.
Yeah, I just felt like they gave too much away. There was like alpha after alpha, then beta, then beta. And it's just like everyone could, I mean, I appreciate it as a streamer, like everyone could play it and stream it and stuff. But I just felt like when the game came out, I was like, I already played this game. Like I experienced all there is to experience with this game already.
Yeah, I think, and this goes back to the point of being like, this is, it's a huge gamble to make a game like this, because Evolve is meant to be a game like Destiny in the sense that like this is a game you play and you like collect people to play it, and it's a persistent platform that you play on. And when there's only so many players with so much time to dedicate to so many things, and when you have big guys out there like Destiny and Call of Duty and Battlefield, like you can't compete. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't even understand that's why Titanfall failed. You know, like Titanfall is going to, there's going to be a sequel, but Titanfall certainly didn't meet expectations. They like the guy, we read that story last week where they were like, one of the guys was like, the biggest regret was that we weren't on more platforms. We couldn't be.
That was why Titanfall didn't take off. Yeah. Just not enough people could play it.
And there was no meat on the bone for a lot of people and stuff like that, which was a problem too. And I'm not, and Titanfall looked fun, and it's not
Titanfall was fun.
And it's not my game. It's not my kind of game, so I'm not going to, you know, to say one way or the other whether it's good or not. I don't know. But it wasn't a game that caught on, because for lots of people, really almost immediately. I remember reading on NeoGAF, like even on the PC version, like where people like, we can't, like they couldn't find games like after 2 weeks. You know what I mean? And it's like, that's a huge danger when you're stepping into that space. You better make sure your game's really fucking good, and then you have a marketing push and all these kinds of things, which Destiny did. I think Destiny again, in hindsight, was really brilliant in the way it approached it. It went silent for a long time. It came back with the beta, or the alpha and the beta. It got people involved in the game. People were really hard on it in the beginning. Then they realized what the hook was, the carrot in front of the dog, as it were. So I think that, I don't know, I think that there's much to love about that kind of game, but what's the point of making another one when you can't compete with Destiny or Call of Duty?
Carrot in front of the dog.
The dog's running after the carrot, right?
Donkey. Donkey.
I thought it was a horse.
I thought it was a horse.
No, it is a horse. Yeah, the dog wouldn't eat carrot. What do they put in front of the dog? Oh, they put a rabbit in front of the dog at the racetrack.
Right.
Mixed analogy.
Yeah.
Mixed metaphor. That's you understand true. What I'm saying.
You gotta put the cow before the horse in this one. Anyways, all right, so going to the other games, other systems that come out. What else has stood out to you guys in 2015? I think for me, you know, Majora's Mask coming out on 3DS was a big surprise for a lot of people that it even happened. And
did it all happen really quick? I can't remember.
What's up?
Did that like get announced in 2015 and then come out?
Not in 2015. No, okay. It was announced late 2014.
Okay.
But the fact that it even came out on 3DS, like, I'm pretty astonished that they actually did that.
Finally acknowledging
what's,
the best.
What's crazy is, like, I think from news perspective is that I read a couple days ago that's the like one of the best-selling Zelda handheld games already.
And yeah,
like,
I believe it.
I was at Best Buy yesterday, and they were sold out of it. And I was like, whoa. That's weird. So, that's cool. Sounds like 3DS is
The order disappointed, but I think people watching the industry had their doubts about the order and how that was going to pan out to begin with from the jump, right? So I don't know if...
at least one person did.
I don't know how many... A few people were thinking it was going to come out and be a AAA 10 or something like that, right? Like, I think people understood that that was where it's going. While we record this, we don't know anything about Bloodborne. We haven't popped that in and seen what's happening with it, so... Who knows?
Yeah.
But I mean, it's been quiet, but I expected it to be quiet. You know what I mean?
Did iDarb come out this year, or did we just
iDarb came out this year. This is, and that's what I was going to say, is there are actually quite a few good small games that came out I think. I lost a lot of time to Whoa Dave, which is like just a really bizarre Super Mario, the original arcade game clone. Helldivers is awesome.
It doesn't eat your shit.
Why is Helldivers eating your shit?
Because it's broken.
Citizens of Earth came out this year, which was pretty interesting. Ironclad Tactics was interesting. Like there were small, Starships came out. There's smaller games, and Starships I wouldn't really call a small game, but there are smaller games that have come out that I think are filling in the kind of the crevices nicely. But I still think Dying Light was the champion of Q1 by far, and I think that I'm trying to think to make sure I'm not like overstating it. Yeah, Hotline Miami 2 is out, but I think Dying Light might be my game of the year so far.
Damn.
Because that game really grabbed me, and it was such a pleasant surprise. This is why I don't even read preview coverage, and why I hated writing previews at IGN, was because when I knew I was interested in a game, the preview beat's like my least favorite thing. If I could like have never written previews, I would have been totally glad to do that, because when I'm interested in a game, I don't like to read about it or know much about it. And Dying Light was one of those games that I knew so little about that I didn't even know I would care about it. And when I've said before, when Greg described it as Mirror's Edge, which I didn't like that much, to Dead Island meets Mirror's Edge, I was like, that sounds fucking awful, you know. And I played it. I'm like, this is great, great game. You know, I can't recommend Dying Light enough.
No, it's awesome.
It's really, really surprisingly good, surprisingly great, I would even say. So I still think that that's kind of the champion of Q1, but things will pick up.
Yeah,
we're gonna get weird games at weird times. Like we're getting Batman in June. I mean, that's a weird game to get at a weird time.
Metal Gear in September.
Yeah, Metal Gear in September. We're getting big games at at weird times. Mad Max.
Battlefield
as well.
In March was weird.
Yeah, Battlefield. Yeah. Battlefield's out.
Yeah, forgot about that. So how's that going?
It's like Battlefield 4, but a lot more fast pace, which I appreciate. I was never a Battlefield guy that liked the big conquest maps with 64 people and all the vehicles. It was cool, but I was more like, I like the gameplay mechanics of Battlefield. Just give me a smaller map and, you know, quick to engage, you know, scenarios.
Mm-hmm. How many hours have you put into it?
A lot so far. Probably like 20 plus. Multiplayer, single player. Got it recently. But
not super recently. 20 hours already?
Well, I've been playing like the beta and stuff like that.
Oh, already, okay. So. We're counting the beta. So okay. Yeah. That makes
and sense. Surprisingly, the campaign is, I mean, it's decent. You know, it's a Battlefield campaign, so I don't
surprisingly,
like
it's decent. It's,
you know, like I'm playing through it and I'm not like, oh, I want to turn it off in terms of campaign. So,
cool. So far. Also, kind of funny games launched in quarter one.
Sure, that has exceeded expectations.
Changed the landscape of video games.
Totally destroyed.
Sure
it
did. Sure, it changed something.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
Q1, I'll say this about Q1. Q1 has been stronger than usual. People are finding their niches to release games at weird times, like we said.
Mm-hmm.
Dying Light would have not sold how well it sold if it was released in November. So it was a smart time. And I'm not even sure I would have paid attention to that game if it was released in the fall period, in the holiday period. So I think that we're going to see stronger quarters across Q1, Q2, Q3, and Q4 are all going to be stronger going forward every year, because I think people are starting to realize you don't have to shoehorn your fucking game into November because it's AAA or whatever. You can find space to breathe, and people will pay attention to your game, as we've talked about in previous episodes of Gamescast, if you find the right place to release them. So I think Q1 shaped up really nicely just based on this kind of changing paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. So for the next topic, Kevin, we're going to ask Alfredo a bunch of questions from the community. Okay. We can all obviously join in on this. Cool. But these are geared a little towards Alfredo's taste, which involve first-person shooters, Twitch, things of that sort.
That's what I do.
Yeah. We're going to start off with the headline of this video. Why are people still playing Destiny?
So a friend of mine, a fellow Twitch streamer of mine, Spoon, was like, hey, I know how many hours you've played in Destiny. Do you want to know? And I was like, no. And then, of course, 5 minutes later, I was like, okay, how many? 950 hours in Destiny.
What the fuck?
950. So here's the thing.
I believe it.
I play Destiny a lot. And, like, it doesn't mean that I absolutely think that Destiny is the most amazing thing of all time. It has a lot of issues. There's no story. There's not, like, you do things repetitively. But I don't know. For me personally, I think one of the things that keeps bringing a lot of people back, or just for me in general, is the fact that at its core, the gameplay is good. Like, and it just got to the point where, I mean, you do stuff repetitively. But for me, I started playing it as a multiplayer game. And then from that point of view, it's just like any other multiplayer game, like COD or Battlefield, you know, it's multiplayer. Quick 10-minute matches, you go in, you play over and over and over again. So for me, that's why I play Destiny. And I think for a lot of other people, like who like single player type games, it's that whole loot system, right? It's that whole like, oh, the reset, it's Tuesday, it's reset day, I can do these raids again. And it's like, yeah, you're doing the same thing again, but at the same, like, you know, it's, you get to possibly get that weapon that you've always wanted.
It's the gear. It's the loot treadmill. It's you're coming back because you're earning stuff. I
that carrot in front of the dog.
In front of the dog. You know, the tropes of video games and why, like, at a core, you do play them, right? You play them to feel like you're progressing. You fill the XP bar, and then you get a new skill, and you do this. And so once you've done all that Destiny, then it becomes, I'm so close to getting Xerz, whatever, blah, 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 stupid-ass weapon I can't pronounce, and all these different things, and another mode of light, and all the, you know what I mean? Like, it's all these little things, and you look at your currency, and you have so many different currencies, and that's what it's about, is it's about progression and feeling like you're invested in something that you've already made something.
Destiny's just done a really good job at making, like, giving you just one more thing that you can reach for, right? So it was levels, and then it was like, oh, you know, there's a raid, so you reach for that. And then it's like, oh, well, kind of want these exotics, right? And then all of a sudden it's like, here's this new event in multiplayer that you can kind of get into, or here's another raid, right, with more gear. Here's more exotics you can chase and stuff like that. So they've been very good at making sure that there's something there for you to kind of chase after.
Right.
So do you have to play Destiny all the time for it to still be fun and cool? Or can you play once a month and still have a good time with it?
Yeah, you can play once a month.
You can have good time. You can play and have it. This is my problem. This is the same thing in the topic of two ago topics where I mentioned DC, right? That I'd love to go back and get more into DC Universe Online, but I can see what I need to do. And it's the same thing with Destiny. I'm still like, level 25 or something? So people are always like, let's go raid. I'm like, I'm not at all equipped for that, because I'd have to go in there and put in the fucking work to get to that spot to be able to go raid. And like, there's just so much. If you're not going to play as much as Alfredo is, or as much as a normal person who's sane would play, if you're not playing, you know, every day, every few days or whatever, you're just never going to be able to catch up to your friends and be part of what they're doing.
Yeah, there starts to become this gap when you're not at least frequently playing it. Which is an issue. Like, one of the big issues when the game first came out is that it was so grindy. It's less grindy now, but you still gotta put in a ton of work. Like, I started a PlayStation character, and I just hit, there's occasionally a wall. Like, I hit a wall, and I'm like, well, I need to just grind this out until I can buy the gear, and that's gonna be a lot of hours. So, yeah.
That sounds thrilling. the next question comes from HalesBells69.
Hales!
What do you see the future of Destiny looking like? And will there be a Destiny 2?
Oh, 100% there's going to be a Destiny 2. The future of Destiny, I would say it just needs to have... Well, they're always refining, like, small tweaks here and there. I believe the future of Destiny would be more of, like, a social angle, right? Like, you have... you have these things where it's like, I'm going to do my campaign, or I'm going to do my weekly, I'm going to do like my multiplayer. But I feel like Destiny is might start going into the realm of like, okay, let's do stuff where Guardians can kind of just hang out and chill. Like, maybe you will have like Sparrow, like their little speed bike, like Sparrow races, right? Mm. Things for like where Greg can come in and be like, well, I don't have to do the grindy things of Destiny, but I can do this with my friends, and it's more of just like a casual thing. Besides that, I mean, I hope with the big comet thing next year, I hope they come out with a huge chunk of story.
What's the big comet thing?
It's it was like leaked content that that there's like their plans for like later.
Sure.
This year.
That's what I mean, asking about Destiny 2. That was like Activision's whole plan, right? Their like 7-year plan had been leaked way before. That's how we found out it was Destiny, and that's what it was called and all that stuff. And that was in there in the listings.
Yeah, that's the brilliance. And again, the kind of subtle brilliance of it is that they can release a Call of Duty, and we'll release Call of Duty every year because that is the expectation. Even though it probably shouldn't be the expectation. Hopefully Call of Duty goes, as we've talked to them, more of a platform in the future with maps and stuff like that. Destiny 2 will exist, I'm sure, at some point. Maybe not on even on these consoles, because I think that they would be insane to fuck with anything that they're doing right now. Like, there's the reason Titanfall 2 is already a thing and already revealed and already announced is because they have to. You know, like, Titanfall wilted. If Titanfall didn't wilt, then they would have created more DLC probably for it and supported it more and made this thing a thing. And Destiny is a thing. Destiny is a thing with lots of people, millions of people. Mm. And so, like, to say anything about a sequel even in the next 3 years would be a fool, like, foolish. Mm-hmm. You know, because it seems like they have something that works, just like Warcraft works and just like Guild Wars works. Like, it's just leave it alone, you know, and release new content, like this leaked content that was, by the way, I forgot that we reveal Destiny at
IGN.
At IGN. That was I forgot about that. I mean, I didn't write the story, but I forgot that we actually we were the ones that leaked that story. That's interesting.
Yeah,
or not leaked it. Someone
The document had been, or whatever it was. It was
someone.
Was that the iPad? Or I can't remember anymore.
Anyway, interesting. I forgot all about that because that was such a long time ago.
Was that on purpose though? Was it a purpose leak? Because it was 7 years, Bungie, and they're all weird with seven. Anyways, with DLC, how's the DLC been for Destiny?
A lot of people thought it was a failure. Really? I personally thought the first DLC was a failure because, I mean, it came out and it made everything else, like, obsolete. Like, there was no point in doing the Vault of Glass raid, which was a big thing, like, the first, like, default raid that came out. And they just introduced, like, a whole set of mechanics that just wasn't unnecessary. Like, you had all these exotic weapons. You took the time. Like, Destiny has a lot of issues, and one of them is, like, it's very grindy. You took the time to upgrade all these exotics. The DLC came out, and it's like, well, you can make them stronger, but you have to upgrade them all over again. It's a little bit, the progression is a little faster, but still, it's like, I don't want to do that again. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, yeah, the DLC was a flop, to be honest.
Do you think that they're going to fix that for future DLC?
Yeah, they've even stated that, like, we are aware of what the issues were with that, and we hope to avoid that.
So. That's what's so interesting about, like, developers watching people play their game is, like, the way they thought it was going to work and the way that it was received is always, not always, but it seems like it's often different. You know, like, developers have told us many times that we've changed things in their games by telling them certain things in preview events or whatever.
What was the one game where you wanted to use the D-pad? Or
Guacamelee was an example where, like, I think it was, like, I was like, why can't I use this? I think it was, that was the game where it was like, I want to use the D-pad, and so they did that, you know? And it was like that because you're in such a fucking shoebox for years with this shit, and you think that it's going to be like, well, this is the way we see it, and so everyone's going to see it like that. I'm always fascinated by that when they admit, like, wow, we were wrong, and we have to fix this thing. The major thing they have to do, and this is a surprise to me because I always assumed Destiny was on PC for a long time, but it seems like it's not. It's on, like, you know, the PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, and Xbox 360, and Xbox One. That should be the next leap for them. I have no idea why that game's not on PC, and wouldn't that make a lot of sense for them too? You know, to be in that space where people understand those games better.
Yeah.
You know, they like shooters and they understand MMOs. So it would make more sense for them to do that. Maybe that would be the next big move for them.
Yeah. All right, moving on from Destiny a bit. Our good friend Sean Pitts wants to know from all of us advice for an up-and-coming Twitch streamer.
I was about to say, I was like, oh, is this all going to be Destiny? Like, my God, I do this all the time.
No. Sorry, God forbid.
An up-and-coming Destiny...
Nope.
An up-and-coming Twitch streamer?
Yeah. Consistency.
Yeah, consistency, 100%. I would say consistency. So you, like, have that set schedule where it's like, for me, I'm like, hey, guys, every weekday from 9 a.m. to like 2 p.m., there's a stream. Then 6 to 10 at night, there's another stream. And then weekends, it varies. So, like, having that, and so that way they know it's like, oh, like, it's like you kind of become like a show at that point, where people are like, oh, it's 8 o'clock, time to tune in, you know, Alfredo streaming something.
They work you into their regimens.
Exactly. Yeah. So consistency, streaming a lot of the top games and streaming new releases when those are released, I would say, are the biggest things. Mm-hmm. And but honestly, I've seen people who have not really good like graphics on their channel or like really crappy audio, but have thousands of people watch them, because at its core, like, if you want to be big on Twitch, just a personality that people can relate to and can attach themselves to. And yeah, and you got to just grind it out. It's not going to be,
it's real life Destiny.
Yeah, it's not. Destiny will haunt me forever. No, because like when I started this a year ago, and for the first 6 months I had like 30 viewers a night, and I was still like 6 days a week grinding it out. But eventually, you know, certain things that kind of just catapult you. Destiny was one of those games that just kind of catapulted me. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a grind for sure.
Yeah, what do you think, Colin?
I don't pretend to have insight into the way Twitch works, right? Like, this is, I think it would be disingenuous for me to like give advice on a platform that I'm new to too. My whole approach with Twitch was, when I knew that we wanted, you know, you, especially you, Tim, you identified this as a platform that is important, and I trust you because I'm old and I don't really understand, you know, I play single player games and, you know, yell at children on my lawn and shit. So, so when you said that Twitch was, you know, important, I'm like, okay. And what struck out to me at first was like, how can we do something different on this channel? And so, as we've talked about many times, like, I came up with the idea for Colin and Greg, which was based on my love of sports radio or whatever. And I think that the reason we're successful on Twitch right now is not because of our streams, because I think our streams are fun and whatever. We don't do them that often. It's because we have a consistent product that no one is doing on Twitch. You know, people are playing games and they will do it better than us. I can play Destiny on Twitch if I want to, but why would people watch me when they can watch Alfredo play it at a much higher level, you know, and be able to talk about it more authoritatively? So I think playing to your strength seems to make most sense, even if maybe it's not a game at all, because I wonder if there's going to be more success out there when you know, with people seeing what we're doing with Colin and Greg and start to try to emulate that, because I don't really think that there's anything like it. And so that would be my only advice with Twitch, is to try to identify the thing that makes sense for you, even if it's maybe not a game, but a platform or a way you talk about games or talk about nerd culture, because I think that's what's worked for Greg and I. I think if we did what Alfredo did or does, and we do that. We played Mega Man, all the Mega Man games the other day, on the classic Mega Man games, and we had 2,500 concurrents, like pretty much the entire time, and it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But if I were to step in and try to be disingenuous, I think that that's going to rebound and rubber band on me very quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, my advice is just do it. Just do what you want to do, and just keep doing what you want to do, and then eventually people will like it.
If you make the content you believe in, other people will believe in it too.
Yeah. And well, it's like, you know, you were saying, like, play the biggest games and all that stuff, and it's like, that's great. That if you do want to, like, get those easy numbers, yeah, sure. But if you just want to just do what you want to do, you'll get numbers, but they'll mean more.
Yeah, like, my numbers are low, but I can take that number and apply it to any game, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people, like, play one certain game, their numbers are high, but they're stuck playing that game always.
You were like that with Titanfall for a long time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right. It was just Titanfall all the time, and then, like, I had a significant drop-off in numbers, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to take that hit because I want to build my brand and my channel off of just being able to play any game. It's going to take longer in terms of growth, but that's the channel I wanted to build.
It's a better community. It's more valuable. Everything about
it's more genuine. Yeah. That's important. Yeah. Being genuine is important. I mean, Alfredo's being genuine because he really plays these games. It would be foolish for me to say, like, you know, Battlefield Hardline's out, a game that I've basically done nothing but say it's a copy of Payday for 2 years, and then say and then be like, well, I'm going to play it now because that's what's relevant to people. That makes sense for Alfredo because Alfredo really does want to play it and his audience really wants to see it. What they want to see from me and Greg is probably something radically different. And I think Alfredo can agree, and the way he's grown on Twitch, what's been rewarding about it is when you feel like you're maybe doing it right, and watching our numbers grow. I remember when we did the Colin and Greg Live the first day and we had like 5,000 concurrents. I was like, it's unbelievable. And then because the you know, the je ne sais quoi, like the fucking something special about like it being the first time, it dropped off to like 3,500, 4,000.
Yeah.
But then watching it climb like to 5 and then like 5,500, then you get to like 6 and then like 6,500 and 7. And it's like, and we don't always pull in 7, but when we do, it's not a huge surprise anymore like when it was.
Yeah.
Back then, the arc is up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that, you know, maybe pay attention. If it's important to you, pay attention to the metrics.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, I don't think you should get involved in something like Twitch streaming, in my opinion, to be a big Twitch streamer. I think you have to be true to yourself. And then if it happens, it happens. And if it doesn't. There's a lot of competition out there.
You don't get into Twitch if you're like, I just want to start making money. Like, that's not how that works.
Mm-hmm.
I don't make much money.
So yet. That's the keyword. Yet go support him over at twitch.tv.
But I mean, yeah, if you want to get into Twitch, get into it because you like playing video games. I got into it because I was at IGN and I had a community that I really clicked with, and I wanted to be able to interact with them instantly on a daily basis.
Yeah.
But something like Colin said that I just kind of want to have, like, I just kind of want to change the meta on that, is that you don't have to be good at a video game to be able to be successful on Twitch. There's a lot of people who aren't that great at video games, but they're entertaining, so people watch them. But the whole being genuine to it, yeah, you got to be genuine to it. Because if you're saying, you know, what Connor was saying about Battlefield, and then you're like, oh, I'm going to do a, you know, 2-day Battlefield stream because the game's out, it doesn't look right.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing with you, is I feel like you kind of have this, like, really special thing where you're good at games and entertaining. I think that's a rarity.
I try.
Like, that's the difference between you and, like, most of anyone I've seen on Twitch, really. They're either pro gamers or they're
pro entertainers.
Dudes. You know what I mean? Like, we're entertaining, but we're not, like, super good at games, except for Colin and Tetris. Obviously.
No, Mega Man.
Oh, well, yeah.
I'm good at quite a few games.
I'm good at Tetris. I can go to the video.
To be fair, I'm pretty good at games. But yeah, I want to just be fair that I'm not good at the games that are really relevant to the audience that is on Twitch.
Exactly.
And so I'm not going to pretend.
You wouldn't call yourself a pro gamer.
No,
he's a pro Mama Kuma
pro
player.
Gamer.
No, yeah. Stop attaching that to me. No.
Pro gamer.
Damn.
I mean, he used to be a pro gamer.
Yeah.
You played games professionally.
Yeah, I did.
Period.
Yeah.
But I understand why you wouldn't want to be attached to that.
No, I understand.
That
sounds... And that's modest as well. I mean, there's a level of modesty about that. And you also don't want that, I don't want to say stigma, but you don't want people to come into your thing and be like, I thought you were a fucking professional.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, like,
there's always someone that's going to be better at that game than you. Always.
Yeah, for
always.
Sure. And they're going to let you know sure when everyone else is calling you a pro.
Yeah.
Man, but Twitch, what's so funny about me about Twitch is just, like, even though you guys are not that much, I mean, I'm only 5 years older than you, it's like, it really was the first thing, like, when people watching people play games, Let's Plays, and streaming and stuff, was the first thing that came to me where I was like, fuck, I am actually getting older. Like, I'm growing out of...
I don't understand this.
Exactly. Like, I'm growing out of the age where I get what is cool with gamers. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that was the one thing where I was like, man, I say it all the time, you have to know what you don't fucking know. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and own up to it and admit it and learn from it. And that was a huge learning moment for me where I was like, I resisted. I remember at IGN when we were doing video or guides for a long time, I was like, I just want to write the guides. And they were like, you have to do video. And I'm like, I don't want to. And then eventually it was like, I was wrong. I was totally wrong. Like, I wasn't in touch with how people were consuming content anymore. And it's important to stay up on that stuff, man, or you become a fucking fossil real quick.
Yeah,
Kevin.
Damn.
You fucking fossil.
All right. Real quick. Final question, Alfredo.
Yeah.
Advice on advancing in skill playing a first-person shooter. I tend to plateau at a certain skill and don't improve. Says Knight X Hawk.
Well, I mean, I think with just any shooting game in general, you always want to find out what the best weapons are and stick to those, right? And then I would say for another, just other things in general, like, learn what your weaknesses are. Like, I suck when, like, if you have we're playing FPS, you get close to me, I lose my thumbs. I don't know how to deal with you being in my face like that. So I always try to keep my distance. So, like, learn what you suck at and don't do that, pretty much.
Pro tip.
Compensate.
Map control. Like, when you have control of the map, you know where the enemies are coming from, you know what I mean? Like, you know how much of the map you control, then that really, really helps you. Because I see a lot of people just get blindsided because there's someone comes from behind. But if you know where everyone is at all times, then it's good. Yeah.
Practice. Stay at it.
Yeah.
Learn the maps.
Just keep playing.
It's what you did for me with Titanfall.
I would say think of everything as a play, right? So think of it as like, well, what could I have done differently during that play, right? Should I have thrown that nade? Or should I have charged like that, right? And always kind of awareness. Huge thing. Just always be aware of your surroundings.
Awesome. All right, Kevin, final topic for the day.
Yay, you fucking fossil.
We're going with Barrett G93's question.
Barrett G93,
as we have PlayStation, Xbox, and Nintendo reps, in quotes uses, I'm going to go with fanboys, what is the biggest disadvantage of each from the person that is a fanboy? So I'm assuming by this he means Nintendo, Xbox, PlayStation.
Yeah.
All right. I'll start this off. Nintendo, what's their biggest disadvantage? They don't know what the hell they're doing. They don't understand what, like, their audience actually want. What gamers actually want.
Right.
So I don't even think it's fair to say their audience, because maybe they do know what their audience wants and they make money, so it's fine. But they definitely don't know what gamers want, and they're definitely not giving the gamers what they want.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess I'll go second. I would say that just the Xbox Live Arcade, I don't know if it's still called that, but like
it's not.
The marketplace, it's just we don't have a lot of like small little indie games that are just fun to play, and we need more of that. And it, like, I primarily play on Xbox, and I get jealous of PlayStation and Nintendo because they have so many iconic characters, right? Like, you can make amiibos out of like so many different characters. You can't really do that on Xbox. Like, yeah, that's yeah. not what I get. Master Chief.
Blinks the cat.
Blinks the cat. Yeah,
Blinks the cat. Right. Like, so I would say more franchises that are just tied to Xbox that I can kind of grow with. You know. Mm-hmm.
Sure. I'm gonna say PlayStation Network. It's behind the times. It's been behind the times. It's PlayStation 4 version in iterations better than ever, sure.
100%.
But it's still way behind Xbox Live in terms of security, stability, options, the fact that Xbox at least runs and works. Xbox, you have followers, you have friends, you have these different things. PlayStation, I go to look at my friends list, it wigs the fuck out and crashes. It's like, up. Okay, great, awesome, that was good. You know what I mean? Like, there's that sense of, especially now more than ever, like, when we used to play PlayStation 3 and we'd go through the XMB and we had drank the Kool-Aid and we're like, this isn't so bad. It's Stockholm Syndrome. Like, whatever. You go over and see what everybody's doing. You felt connected in that way, but even that was clunky as hell. And now I can't even look at that, so I don't feel connected at all, which is weird based on the fact that PlayStation 4 was going to be this device that connected everybody again with, like, here's the page of activity. Here's what the friends are doing. Share play. Da, 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 da. And, like, I don't use any of that. I feel very isolated when I use my PlayStation.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny in a way that Sony's doing better than they've done since the PS2 era, but there's still huge issues. I think PSN is a major issue still for them. There's a lot of maintenance downtime. It is easily exposed by people. Often things like name changing is infuriating, that you can't change your name after 9 fucking years. You know, like, it's really incredible how fucked up I think some of PSN is at its very core, that like they can't fix these issues. And as we said in the past, Shuhei and other people have made clear to us, like, well, we know these are issues. It's like, we can't do anything about it. Like, we have only so many resources to, like, delve into the code and, like, really figure this stuff out. And they're getting there. 2.5, I think, is going to be
a good step.
A nice step forward. You'll be able to finally delete 0% trophies and do, you know, put your game to sleep and then start up again and all
it's
that kind
nerdy,
of stuff.
It's nerdy, nerdy PlayStation stuff that nerdy PlayStation fucks like us want.
And it was a nice sign for me in the sense that they're always listening, but that they're actually like starting to check boxes that like people have been asking for a long time, which is nice. But I think that that's a problem. And I think the bigger issue for them right now, even though it's not affecting sales of the console, is that they're not leveraging their first parties at all. And I think Sony's strength over Nintendo and Microsoft has always been their first party studios. And I'm confused why they're being so quiet, and I think a lot of it comes from deliberateness, and I think that that's smart. The Last Guardian is a good example of why you need to be deliberate when you announce a game and make sure that it's a game and it's coming out. But there's been a lot of quiet that is really starting to bother people about a lot of studios that have not said anything. Mm-hmm. And Sony owns, and they're working on games, and it's like, well, what are you doing? You know, Santa Monica, Bend, Guerrilla, you know, is Sucker Punch pre-producing? What are they producing? Maybe a little early for them. You know, there's a Media Molecule. You know, there's a lot of Cambridge. Like, there's a lot of studios that have just not said anything. And so I'm confused about, like, what their plan is moving forward. But I think that their plan is that PS4 is selling at a meteoric pace without the games, and so they do not need to rush anything. I think that is probably what it is.
You figure it's the antithesis of the PlayStation 3 way they did it, right? Where it was literally, here's an exclusive every month, and none of them sell because we don't have the time to promote any of them, and we don't know, here's Twisted Metal, and here's Starhawk, and here's all these games that these people are making, and the exclusive, and this, like, well, what the fuck are we going to do with any of them? People aren't buying them, and they die out, and then Dylan Job goes and makes mobile games. He's like, I'm done. See you later. Like, that's the... It's right now, it's the two extremes, right? Where it was PlayStation 3, there was too many, and PlayStation 4, there's not enough. And, like, where the happy medium is and how you keep everybody happy, they don't know yet. And that's the thing, is, like, you as a... What's their weakness right now is the fact of, like, what is their... What's their holiday trump card to Halo? When Uncharted's gone, is it just going to be like it was last year with the Order, where that when that got pushed and everybody's like, well, okay.
Yeah, there's something we don't know about yet about what there must be. There must be a fall game. Like, there has to be. Like, from one of these studios, you know? I'm just confused about the messaging. Yeah, it seems a little too safe now, as opposed to just being wanton, like they were during the PS3 era.
Ugh, Halo. That was... Ugh.
Well, that's another question. Does Halo 5 really matter? From user at Tim Gettys. I really wanted to know this from Alfredo.
You did not ask.
Swear to God.
You wrote your own name, you idiot.
No, Halo... So Halo, to me, obviously a huge deal. And especially on this show, people are always talking in the comments like, why don't you talk about Halo more? Why don't you talk about the beta? It's like, we just don't really, it's not our thing. I love playing Halo, but like, it's not my shit. Is Halo still a relevant thing in the ecosystem of Destiny existing and Call of Duty and all these other shooters?
It's less and less relevant. I mean, it has its hardcore fan base. But I mean, like, you know, I feel like it's this very, very tough thing where I feel like Halo 5 is going to be important. It is also going to piss off a lot of the hardcore fan base, right? They want true, like, Halo, which is no sprint. But I feel like, you know, it's the kind of the era of, like, it's like the YouTube, it's the YouTube generation, right? Where people want sprint. They want, like, fast, twitchy FPS gameplay. And I know, like, a lot of people want Halo to stick to its core, where it's, like, you know, what it is. But I kind of feel like, at the end of the day, it's kind of, it's got to evolve, you know, and it's got to, you know, where the media is and where everyone is at, right? Like, you can't make a big game and not have it sell. So, I'm sorry, it has to have things like sprint and boost and hover and, like, dash and things that you're not used to with Halo. But I feel like it's going to bring in more people.
Do you think that Halo 5 is going to last longer than 2 months?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Especially because they're very big on, like, supporting it, like, in the competitive scene and everything. Like, a competitive scene helps drive a game last, you know, even longer than it should sometimes. But, no, I think that Halo 5, if done right, if it works, will bring it, and will usher in a new group of people, a new group of players. So I feel like, yeah, it's important for that franchise.
Mm-hmm. And more importantly, does it look good to you?
Yeah, I think it looks good. It plays well. Yeah, I played two versions of it. The first version was a little weird and wonky, but immediately when that open beta thing came out, like, it played very, very well. At the end of the day, it's like, if you want to play, it works now, Master Chief Collection. But at the end of the day, if you want to play old school Halo, like, the Master Chief Collection is amazing. You know, every single game, online, everything. Like, it's awesome.
Cool. Going back to PlayStation here, Swoop Dog.
Swoop Dog.
Wants to know, what do you think of PlayStation View?
Yeah,
Viewy.
View, and could it actually replace cable?
No, it's too expensive.
Way too overpriced.
So what is this exactly?
This is their TV service, their little on-demand TV service that has channels like AMC, and then from there on, that was the only one that caught my eye. You remember the whole rundown?
Yeah, I don't remember.
CBS
they
is on there, stuff, AMC.
It's $50 a month.
$50 a month?
Yeah.
And HBO, you essentially just get those channels, you don't need Comcast?
Exactly,
to cut cable, but it seems like too pricey when you compare it to Sling and other things that are doing similar stuff.
Right, so. $20 for Sling on Xbox One right now.
It just seems like another kind of half-baked PlayStation idea, frankly. And that is another weakness that we were talking about before, is like, they just have these half-baked ideas, like, or ideas that don't come around for them, and so they just pretend like they don't exist. Home was one of them. Now is a big example of that, where it's like, I don't know if anyone's even using it. They don't talk about it very often. They have like a little updates where they're like, these games are now available on Now, but I wish that they would just focus a little bit more. You know, just focus a little bit more. People are buying PS4 because they want to play games. That's what Microsoft shot themselves in the foot with. So just focus on the fucking games, you know, and let everything else pan out. Let your third party partners like Netflix and HBO and all these guys do their thing. But, you know, Microsoft gave the ball away by doing exactly what maybe they're trying to do now. And it's a little ironic to me with Powers and with View and all these things. Like, just guys, like,
it's this,
back up a little
it's
bit.
It's scary, you know? Because that was the thing. PlayStation 4 was their gamble on gamers. And obviously, I was saying before they even announced that gamble would pay off, and it has. But now, yeah, are they getting too big for their britches again and going back to doing all the shit nobody wants? Just fucking make games. Talk about games. I don't care about View. Stop doing it. Yeah, you know what I mean? But then it's always hard to say, too, because Sony is such a soloed. All right, there's so many silos. I'm very tired. So many silos of content and things that are happening there. It's not to say that Powers is really distracting from anybody doing anything with PlayStation, right? But if they're going to try to push that, do they run the risk of alienating people who just want games from them? Who knows?
But you can make that same argument for Microsoft, and it didn't hurt them. You know, so it's like, I think that there is something to be said about, not resources necessarily, because yeah, what does Powers creation have to do with PlayStation really? But it's about marketing, it's about time, it's about mindshare, it's about space on the PSN, it's about all these, you know.
I mean, it's all the way down to cover placement on IGN, you know?
Yeah. Like,
they're promoting Powers, this PlayStation TV show, instead of, like, a couple days ago I saw, and Powers was getting one of, like, the featured things, and a couple spots down was some Final Fantasy Type-0 review or whatever. And it's like, that's a game for this game console.
I'm pretty confident at this point, watching what happened with Microsoft and their meltdown with Xbox One, that gamers want games. They do not want these entertainment machines. They don't want them. And like, it's cool that they do that. But,
yeah.
But any fucking smart TV can play Netflix. It doesn't matter. You know, yeah. Like they, your TV can connect to Wi-Fi and play this stuff fine. Like that's not what people want. Games. They want games. I am more confident than that than ever. And that's what is so. That's what's so strange and ironic and so puzzling about PlayStation 4's meteoric success. I mean, PlayStation 4 is over 20 million units sold.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. It's an incredible number. The thing's been off the market for 15 months. You know what I mean? That's an incredible, incredible number. It's what, 2 million away from GameCube. It's twice as much as Wii U. It's unbelievable. And they're doing it with just a focus on games. So they need to just keep focusing on games. And but the ironic part is that they're doing without the AAA exclusives, because there's no must-have AAA exclusive on the system still.
Yeah.
Which is incredible.
All right. Speaking of games, a lot of people want to know our opinions on specific games, such as Arc520, who wants to know... my light just went off a little bit, and that was kind of weird.
Light's having a stroke.
I know. Does the shot look okay, Kevin?
I mean, it looks fine.
All right, whatever. It is what it is. All right, so Cities Skylines.
Yeah.
Did you play it, and how does it compare to SimCity?
I did play it.
Yes.
I liked it a lot. I didn't get super deep into it. It's one of those games that's mentally taxing, but it feels, looks, and runs a lot like SimCity in the good ways, not in the bad ways. You know what I mean? I want to get back to it. I want to do more with it. You know, SimCity, the problem was for me when it was always online, doing all this dumb garbage that I didn't want out of it, in small plots of land. This is, you know, allowing you to take over the other land around you, do different things, buy stuff. But so far, so good. I'm definitely interested to play more of it.
Cool. All right, next up, we have GTA Heists. Have any of you put any time into this?
No. Heists? Awesome.
Yeah?
Man, it's so late for that to come out. I really was fighting myself with, like, I put in a stupid amount of hours on GTA, but I was fighting myself, like, do I want to come back? Heist is awesome. It's challenging, which I actually really appreciate, because, I mean, you know, you have four people, you have a handful of guys that play GTA, and you're really good. It's like, you just blow right past them. But it's like, no, it's challenging. You can get a... Well, I can curse.
Say it. Fuck it.
You get a shit ton of money from doing all the heists and stuff like that, and so it's good. Yeah.
Yourself putting many more hours into it, though?
I mean, I see myself playing through all the heists that they have now, and then just putting it back away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not really replaying it over and over again.
Cool. All right. Now, the last game people want opinion on is Smite.
Oh, Smite. Yeah, I mean, I'm a console player, but Smite's a MOBA, and it's primarily, you know, I mean, MOBA's more of like a PC term, but I am hooked on Smite.
What is it for the people that don't know?
Mitten.
Smite is a third...
That was fucking good, Greg.
Put it on the board, Kev. Put a one. Thank you.
Smite is a third-person MOBA that is on the PC, but is now on the Xbox. Well, it's...
Coming to Xbox
One. It's coming to Xbox One. They're currently in a closed alpha, and it's just...
Are you in it?
It's got me hooked. I mean, and it's because a couple of things. It's I can never really like attach myself to the camera view from like League of Legends and Dota, that top down and stuff like that.
Sure.
This one's third person, and there's a lot of fast paced like action. And their most popular mode, Arena, fits like a console player's like play style, where it's just kind of like fast action, quicker games and stuff like that. And I think Smite will succeed on a console, because it's the kind of game where Xbox players they try very hard when it comes to multiplayer. So, and this is a game where they can really like dive into in terms of like learning gods and learning their builds. And once you just get a controller into their hands, like I remember playing Smite and on my stream switching from Destiny, people were like, oh, what is this? It looks so cool. And I was like, yeah, it's Smite. It's on PC. Like, I play it. And what are you playing on? A mouse and keyboard. And they're like, it's weird. And then the other time I plugged in my controller, and people were like, oh, my God, I got to download that. And it's like, whoa, it's weird that, like,
that's,
you
all
know,
it took.
That's all it took, that mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Smite's awesome.
Because controllers are the best.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck your mouse. Race. Fuck your keyboard.
Damn. All right. Titanfall 2 coming back up from our boy Trick_2092. He wants to know what we think about the announcement of Titanfall 2 and it going multi-platform.
I mean, it's no surprise that's going multi-platform.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing for everyone.
I think it's a very smart move. I just hope that they, you know, if we get like a date during E3 or something like that, that it's not rushed. Like,
yeah,
Titanfall has, at its core, very good gameplay. Just give it more meat on the bone.
Well, even now it's that way with all the DLC that's come since then, right? Like when you had, yeah, one of the final things we ever did together at IGN is when you had me come in and play that Horde mode with you.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, this is fucking awesome. If because again, like, I don't like being competitive. I'd rather collaborate with humans. Yeah. It's like doing that and fighting the robots and I'm getting XP. I'm like, this is what I want. And then you pulled me out to the menu and I was like, what the fuck is all this shit? You know, like, this is everything they've added since launch. And it's like, if they would have launched with that game,
it would have been
every different story for Titanfall in that community. Yeah,
exactly.
Do you think single player?
I'm hoping for single player, but it's really weird. I don't know, maybe from just my personal point of view, it's really weird for me to care about a story with giant mechs. I don't know. Yeah.
He hates Iron Giant.
Yeah, man. Iron Man would be upset about this.
Yeah.
All the stuff going on. All right.
Stuff going on.
Last question. What's a game you looked forward to and really wanted to be good, but was a complete letdown?
Superman 64.
Oh man, yeah.
The Order.
That comes up. Really?
Yeah, I wanted the Order. I wanted the Order to be awesome. The like Rad is a really good developer, and has good pedigree.
Rad.
Yeah, Ready at Dawn. Rad.
My God, I love that.
And but this was a big step forward for them, and I think that they were so obsessed, as I've said before, they were so obsessed with that engine, and so obsessed with the graphical fidelity of the game, which was impeccable. It's one of the prettiest games I've ever seen in my life. That they forgot to make a game, and that's a huge problem. And I was hoping that when I first saw the game, I was like, this, and that's when I reported, I'm like, this is not in good shape. And everyone jumped down my throat. I was like, I'm telling you guys, this game's in bad shape. And it got better and progressively better. And when we played it at PSX, as we said before, I was like, maybe there's something to this now. Like, this was a fun little portion of the game. And I was like, all right, it's cool. But then I'm reminded of Knack, which there was very little indication, and I don't know if you remember this, there was very little indication that Knack was going to be bad. I didn't think it was going to be.
I was calling it.
You weren't calling it a bad game. You were calling it I don't remember you ever saying that. I remember a lot of people being like, this is interesting. I didn't think it was going to be great. But it's very selective in the set, in the way they show you games, and I'm just much more guarded about that kind of stuff now, because that the airship portion of the Order is one of the best parts of the game. So they that's not a surprise that they would show you that. And when I played portions of Knack, I was like, this is fun and stuff, until you realize it's just not a good game. But The Order was definitely an example of a game where I was becoming hopeful that they were going to fix it, and then they got the extra time they needed. But that's why I hope that they make, and I think they will, if you see the way the game ends, clearly they're going to make a sequel.
We talked about it. Spoilers. Vampire Dick Man.
Yeah. Vampire Dick Man.
So many dicks.
They have the engine, and now they can focus on making what they need to make, which is a 10-14 hour campaign around it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't worry about the tech anymore. They were obsessed with the technology. They were obsessed with it.
I spoke about this before, but Devil May Cry 2 was definitely like the biggest letdown for me ever, because I love DMC 1 so much, and when they finally announced 2, I was like, I'm in. I pre-ordered it as soon as I fucking could.
Yeah.
I remember walking into EB and then the guy being like, dude, I'm sorry, man. And I was like, what? He's like, did you see the reviews? And I was like, no. And he like points at the EGM and I'm just like, I open it up and it was like a 5.5, and I'm like, what? No.
Out of 10?
No way. And I was like, I don't believe this. I just don't believe it. I remember I got home and I played, I think in one sitting, I played through about half of it. I'm like, it's not bad. It's not that. Fuck those guys.
Yeah.
And then the next day I was thinking about it. I'm like, man, DMC 1's so good. This isn't. Fuck, this really isn't. And then I beat it. I'm like, wow, this really isn't. And it just broke my heart. I remember Brute Force was another one.
Oh, yeah.
We were pretty excited about that.
Yeah, we were very excited about Brute Force. The co-op and everything about that, right? The characters, and that was just a total fail.
Yeah, that was bad. And then I think the biggest one for me, besides Devil May Cry 2, is Final Fantasy 13.
Oh.
Where, like, good lord, I wanted that game so bad.
You had to know.
Yeah.
You really had to know.
No. It's just like, I didn't. I mean, the trailers look great. Everything about it, I'm like, I like this. I don't like Final Fantasy 9. I don't like the old, like, weird shit. Like, I like this.
The weird shit?
Stuff. Yeah, yeah.
The weird shit is everything that happened from 10 on. That's the weird shit.
But, yeah, I don't know. It hurt. It hurt real bad.
Another one, Spider-Man 3. Mm. Remember how good Spider-Man 2 was? Yeah. Like, just the web, you know, like, oh, man, if they just make it look prettier, give you more side missions, this will be great. And it was so fucking bad.
Yeah.
Perfect Dark
Zero. Oh, for Xbox.
Oh, I was going to say the original?
Yeah, no.
Perfect Dark Zero. Really good call. I was like, damn, that was a mess. I'm going to bring this up because I am Xbox at my core. The Master Chief Collection. That's something you cannot fuck up, but it was a colossal fuck up.
That's why people should be really afraid of Halo 5, I think.
Yeah, definitely, 100%. But that game just did not work. I play Destiny as much as I do because Halo didn't work. Halo was supposed to be that game that I was going to transition to, and it was going to take me away. It didn't even work. Like, how can you... you know, I'm sure this is, of course, is not their intention, but how can you mess up something that's so iconic to, like, Microsoft? Like, console, the original Xbox was sold because of that game, you know? Mm. And it just, I couldn't even play it.
Yeah.
So.
Let alone the fact that it is the original one. It's not even like it was a new game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was unbelievable.
Yeah, I just think they tried to do way too much. Like, the whole UI itself was just, like, so much, like, work had to go into that. Mm-hmm. And it's just, they tried to do too much, I guess. I don't know.
But you're saying now it's awesome, though, right?
Now it works.
Same thing with Drive Club. Like, Drive Club was broken, and now it works, too. But, it, like, the damage is done. Yeah. You know? And, I mean, that's, and I, you know, I was really surprised when Master Chief Collection didn't work, because I had no interest. I mean, I liked Halo and Halo 2 a lot, but I'm not going to go back and play those games again. But when I was like, 343 did this internally, and they're working on the next mainline Halo game, and that game's going to get slammed way harder than Master Chief Collection in terms of users, in terms of people trying to play the game, in terms of connectivity and stuff like that. And I'm like, there's every reason to be very scared about the way that game's going to work. But hopefully with their early alpha and all these kinds of things, that they're figuring it out and understanding and identifying these problems. But this goes back to what Greg was saying, you know, full circle kind of thing, where it was the connectivity of these games is breaking and the games and frustrating people at the same time. Mm-hmm. Of course, Halo needs to work online. It's not one of those games that you have the luxury of playing offline. You can play the campaign, I guess, but I think that's an interesting one. Drive Club, obviously, I didn't care about, but it was funny watching how the complete meltdown around that game was just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think Twisted Metal is the last one I'll say, where I was the PS3 one? I wanted a new Twisted Metal so bad after Black, and I'm just like, please give me a fucking PS3 Twisted Metal. And then they announced it, and I was like super excited about it. And then as soon as they started showing gameplay, I'm like, this isn't Twisted Metal. This isn't what I want. And then it came out, and like, I played it a little bit, and I'm like, yep.
Jaffe's new game looks like a nice return to something unique and interesting, so we'll see. Mm-hmm. Drawn to death.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is the first and last, Greg, episode 12.
I will make sure there is another 12.
My God.
I will make sure.
As always, I'm Tim Geddes. We got the coolest dudes in video games, Colin Moriarty and Greg Miller. And my best friend in the world, Alfredo Diaz.
I'm here. I'm Burn talking.
Alfredo plays one of my best friends.
No, it's too late. It's sad. The dice
one,
case.
One half of TNA reunited, and it feels so good.
11 years of seeing each other naked. I mean, yeah, it's,
things happen.
You know what I mean?
Multiple times. Anyways, please make sure you go support him over at twitch.tv/AlfredoPlays.
Much appreciated.
He's going to stream all the time, every morning, every weekday morning, from 9 to 2.
9 to 2. And then and every night, 6 to 10.
6 to 10.
Don't forget about Colin and Greg Live.
Sometimes. No, but Colin and Greg Live. Yeah. You should take a break. So what you should do is watch Alfredo from 9 to 2.
It's a beautiful thing where I have like a bunch of people in the morning, and I'm like, guys, Colin and Greg Live, where people are just like, all right, we're going to go watch Colin and Greg, and then they go, and then they come back like, all right, Colin and Greg's done, like,
cool.
Now I'm just watching gameplay, and it's like, wow, it's this beautiful synergy.
It's beautiful. He is kind of funny family, and you should get used to him, because he's going to be here all the time doing a lot of fun shit, Let's Plays and all that stuff, but he is doing his own thing, yeah. So please do go support him over there, because he needs it.
Lots of collaborating.
Is there anything? Peach? Shout out to Peach again.
bit.ly/PeachGoblin.
There's some dots and slashes in there.
It's bit.ly. /PeachGoblin. Go download it. Yeah. Leave a comment. Maybe your comment will get read next week.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Until next time,